You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
It is the spooky month, and on the spooky month we get the spooky movies about the vampires, and that is why today on oneofus.net we are discussing Night Teeth, a Netflix original vampire thriller movie written by Brent Dillon and directed by Adam Randall, starring George Lindeborg Jr., Debbie Ryan, Lucy Fry, and Alfie Allen. But before we get into all the nit and or grit of this smaller vampire odyssey, I am Davey, and with me is Chad.
Hi.
And Ray.
Hello.
Thank you all for being here with me tonight. So, Lindeborg Jr. stars as Benny Perez, a young man who takes the place of his brother, who is a professional chauffeur. He's like, hey, I know you're busy, let me take over for the night. And he does, and he finds that he has a very special client, two young women, Blair and Zoe, played by Debbie Ryan and Lucy Fry, who turn out to be vampires in the midst of staging a vampire coup on the other parts of this city. And Benny must drive them around and get into various shenanigans while the power struggles, much bigger than any of them, happen all around. It's basically all you can really say without going into too much detail about any potential spoilers, although it's pretty easy to see where this movie is going. So what did we all think of Night Teeth?
It's not the greatest movie, but it tries, and I feel like it's fun. And I don't know, for a dumb... we're so flooded with monster movies and zombies, vampires, and all this stuff. This kind of takes it, especially in the beginning, they kind of set you up like, yeah, you kind of made up all these stories about us, but this is what we're like in real life. So it's kind of cool that they just kind of make their own universe out of it and really centralize it in LA, because it takes out that element of like its world and all the consequences, and the stakes are just very local and it's easy to digest, no pun intended. But I thought it was fun.
I'm on the fence about this because I looked at the film and I think that the set designs and I think the cinematography and I think the colors and all of that they use to create the world that we're seeing visually are stunning. They're wonderful. They're just fun to look at. But when I look at the substance of the film and even some of the flat performances, I then look at this movie and go, well, it was all style and no substance. So I'm kind of on the fence because I guess I wanted more out of it. I wanted a little more action. I wanted to dig a little deeper into the world. I guess you don't need any more out of the villain than he just wants to take over. But, you know, maybe I wanted to know why or what some of the other vampires who controlled some of the other areas of the city were like, but we don't get a lot of that. So it doesn't seem to go in deeper into that, but it is a cool character study of just the three people, especially the three people that are in that vehicle for the night. and how, you know, one of them changes the other, and I'm not saying that the way you think I'm saying it, but I'm saying it as in their personality, and as in, you know, widening their broader world. They, you know, are learning of something they didn't know existed. So that's kind of cool, but I was kind of on the all style and not very much substance for this.
It definitely is a setup movie. Like, it feels like it was either a comic book that they transcribed and made, and they're like, hey, we're going to go do a whole series, or it definitely feels like a series.
See, that's what I thought at first. It might be a comic book, but it isn't. But yeah, do they have plans for a series? Do you know, Chad? Or
David? I don't know personally, but it definitely feels like, hey, if we do well enough views on this, then we'll put a sequel out. Because I agree with you, there are a lot of setups in this world that really didn't pay off, but it felt like the first movie out of like a trilogy, you know?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. But with it not being... And it's not necessarily fair to say that it can't be the first movie of a trilogy, because we don't know if any more are coming, and it's not based on an existing property to kind of latch those flaws onto. But being kind of forced to take this as a standalone movie right now, this has... honestly really little on its bones. I'm maybe even more negative than Ray. I found this movie to be incredibly dull. There are parts of it that are fun. The set and costume design is all great, even if it's just ripped from Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. The characters and premise are fun, even if they're just ripped from Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. This is a theme with this movie, but it doesn't have really anything interesting in the character or storytelling department to really bring you into it. It says it's a vampire thriller. There are vampires. I never felt personally thrilled. It's not all that funny. It's not all that cool. There's not a ton of action in it. I guess this just becomes a standard drama film because it's not enough of anything else to really describe it as such. And I think that's my biggest problem, is it seemed to forget to be entertaining sometimes in lieu of setting up this mythos and setting up this world. And it's hollow, because you can do all the cool world building you want, whether it's inspired by other properties, it doesn't matter. But if you don't have a compelling story to tell in the world, then I don't know why you're doing all this effort.
Well, sometimes, you know, you get handed a C-minus script and you get a A+ production crew, you know?
Yeah, and that's true. And I don't want to pretend like a lot of that work isn't there. I also did quite enjoy Lindenborg Jr.'s performance. I think he has a lot of charisma and can hold the screen really well.
He was like mini Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, I really like what he was doing in the movie. But there was nothing for me to latch onto. I was bored the entire time watching this.
And I know that not every movie has to be, you know, a vampire action movie. I know that, you know, we get used to those sometimes. But did you feel a little disappointed too in... And I don't think I'm spoiling and saying this, because some of it's in the description, you know, there is one vampire that's going around and he's trying to take over all the territories. So, of course, in order to do that, there's people you have to take out. And there are scenes where they go in to do that, and then you go to something else. And then, of course, you come back and you see that there's carnage, but you got none of the actual taking out, which is part of this whole story. That's what this guy is doing. And I felt cheated in a weird way.
No, totally. The political like grapplings that are happening in the background are so much more interesting than anything else going on in the movie. And you're right, Ray, we don't get to see it. It doesn't happen. Which is just so... It's so frustrating because, again, it doesn't all need to be super high octane. It can be funny or sweet or suspenseful, but it's not really any of those things, at least not to me. So not to say that making an action movie is easy, because God, it's not. But at least as a writer, the easiest thing you could do then is say, all right, we got to have some really cool action sequences to beef it up. This movie cost $22 million.
Oh, they could have afforded more fight scenes then. I was going to complain if it had a low budget, but no, that's enough.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, I don't want to be too hard in this movie. And then I pulled up the Wikipedia page, $21.7 million. All right, so all of that went to the 3.5 minutes that Megan Fox was here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And a little bit to the ending.
Yeah. That was a cool little moment there. I did enjoy the final punch of that ending.
Yeah.
Climax.
And it's, like you said, it's predictable, but as far as the characters go, it makes logical sense. You know, nobody had a character turn where I was like, well, that was wrong. You know, that didn't feel right.
No, I'm with you there, Chad. I do think, again, I think as a character piece, there's a lot about this that works. But it just, I wanted more.
Yeah. I think Night Teeth 2 will be a movie worth watching. But as a solo film, I don't know if I can really recommend this. Do we have anything else to say, or do we want to just start heading into those final thoughts?
I just started watching, and I know I'm way behind on this. I just started watching Game of Thrones. Sorry. But Alfie Allen was in this movie, and immediately I recognized him. I'm like, oh, there's that. I'm on season 3 right now, so he's just a backstabbing bastard.
Oh, so it's still good.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. Can I just roll into my final thoughts?
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like out of the three of us, it seems like I've given this movie a little bit more breathing room to be out there in the zeitgeist. I'm not a huge vampire mythos fan in general, so I'm not as discerning of a critic, I think, as you two are. You two seem to be a little bit more into that. I'm more into zombies. But I think, I don't know, like, all of Netflix's movies, at least the ones I've watched, they're not, like, A+. I feel like I've never seen, like, an A+ perfect movie out of Netflix. So I give them a little bit of a, I don't know, I give them a little bit more. Because I know they're still trying out. But then again, they're spending millions of dollars on all these different properties. So it feels like it's another one of these movies where, all right, we're going to throw $22 million over here and see what happens. And this is what you get. I definitely think the script needed to be beefed up. And I agree with you guys. It definitely needed a fight scene. But if they do continue with this as a series, one can hope. I feel like the second one, dare I say, could be The Empire Strikes Back of this trilogy. That all being said, I'll give Night Teeth 7.0, obviously Cadillac Escalades, out of 10.
Beautiful. Ray?
Well, like I said, I'm on the fence about this one, and I have seen some really good Netflix movies, and I do, you're right, I do give them credit for trying some different things. And one thing I can say is, and I think it's probably because of the money that they throw out, all of their movies, almost all of their movies, look really good. This one looks really good. It looks like there's money on the screen. It looks like, you know, somebody was out there and really trying to make something, and I give them credit for that. But, you know, I'm not sure what I can tell people about this, especially people, and maybe this is, again, me being a vampire fan, lore fan and film fan. I don't know who exactly I can recommend this to my other friends who are in that same category. I will say that about, you know, 2/3 of the way through this movie, Alexander Ludwig shows up for 10 minutes and gives this absolutely bonkers performance, and it is a joy to watch, but you get maybe 10 minutes of that, and then it's done. So I don't know that on that basis, on just the way it looks and on this performance that just comes out of nowhere, that I can recommend this really. So I'm going to stay on the fence with it, and I'm going to go right down the middle. I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 black lights.
Yeah. I, much like Ray, I'm also very into the whole vampire. I just like monster movies a lot. I think the mythos of them is fantastic, and I like what they can do and what they can say and yada yada yada, all that nonsense. There is nothing here that I would recommend, honestly. And it's a shame because there is a lot of talent on display. But I can't shake the feeling that it's not enough. Like, your time is valuable, and I can't in good conscience recommend this. Because it's what, like an hour and 45 minutes or something? And it's not worth the time. And I also have seen some pretty great Netflix originals. The Discovery, I still think, is their best film, even though no one else likes that movie. Marriage Story is great. The Irishman is great. I liked Okja a lot. Like, you gotta weed through a lot of piles of garbage. Not saying that this movie is irredeemable trash or anything, but you gotta wade through some shit. But there's gold nuggets in there, I think. And this isn't, like, shit, but it's just another piece to throw onto the pile of more content. So I'm gonna stop rambling about this movie. I am gonna give it 3.5 out of 10 former Disney Channel stars.
You know, I will say one point where it kind of took me out in the beginning, where they got a drone shot going down and Jay turns a corner in an obviously CGI car. But the physics of the car going around the corner and the timing of the shot, I like screamed. I was so angry. Like, come on, guys. It's just another pass on that. It would have been perfect. But
also, it's just turning a car. You can get someone to do that in real
life. No. We're going to do that in post. Don't worry about it. It's cheaper.
Is it?
Is it? Yeah, is it?
I mean, the way they pay animators, yeah.
That's true.
I mean, they're getting a stunt person and a picture car and shooting at night with permits.
That's fair. That's the problem with this movie. If it had just a little less of a budget, it could do some of the gorilla stuff. Like, who cares? I'm just going to get in my car and
drive it. Yeah. Hey, where's Gary? Gary, drive the car.
Oh, don't let Gary drive. Yeah, no, the last time Gary drove, we ended up at Poughkeepsie, and that's not where we want to be.
Ah, shit. Todd, yeah, I'll buy you a sandwich. Yeah, you can hit my vape. Just drive.